There we go. Hey, good morning. It was sleeping because the time change and the microphone has a little delay then, yeah, till it catches up. It's good to be with you in God's house, even on an unusually early day like this. The text for us to think about today is our gospel lesson, and particularly where it says, when Jesus had said these things, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand. We have a sermon about fighting. When was the last time you were in a fight? Actually, fighting with someone. Is that still a thing in school today? I don't hear about it at St. Paul. Praise the Lord. I don't wonder about high school. When you were in school? Sometimes. The thing with, I'm going to meet you after school. And then you worry about which door you should go out of or how to get home. Or you'd hear that there's going to be a fight. So-and-so and so-and-so in the park across the street after school. And a bunch of kids would gather. But, for most of us, especially as adults, we don't do that. And yet there's actually a fair amount about fighting, striking in God's word. I learned some lessons about fighting years ago. It was 1980. We were newlyweds and living in Saginaw. Karen was teaching at Redeemer there, and I was working at a machine shop, Brett Traeger Manufacturing. And on the south side of town, at the old Lufkin Rule factory, which was they'd gone out of business, and in this big empty factory, there was a group that had a boxing club there. And one of the guys where I worked on the assembly floor there, he was a coach for these Golden Gloves boxers, right? And he encouraged me. He said, Don, you should come and work out with us. You don't have to box, because as my dad always said, I'm a lover, not a fighter. But this is good exercise. And I wanted to get in shape. I didn't do a stint in the military. I wasn't really an athlete. And I wanted
to be able to handle myself,
And so I said, yeah, I'll do that. And so I went to this thing, and this grimy old factory, and it was just like out of Rocky or something. The ring and the bricks and the brick walls and just the bathroom. But they give you the gloves, so I worked out on the heavy bag. He taught me how to keep my guard up and the jab and the punch, from the shoulder, like boom, straight through. All that power, all your weight right through it, which I weighed like 130. But I have a lot more weight now. I could probably really, really throw a punch. And so I worked out for a couple of weeks. I was feeling, I'm kind of getting this. I broke a sweat anyway. And then a young man there, a few years younger than me, he was probably like 18, but I was only maybe early 20s. He was going to have a match, and so he wanted somebody to spar with. There wasn't anybody around, and he asked me if I would spar with him. And I really tried not to do this, but he convinced me, it wouldn't be a big deal. He'd go easy on me. So you get the headset thing, and you get the mouth thing, this grimy bathroom in a glass, and then you take it out of there. Talk about the coronavirus stuff. Wow, we were not up with the times then. And you're all strapped in, your gloves, and okay, you get your guard up, and I'm jabbing, and then I'm punching, and I'll tell you now, he never laid a glove on me. It was amazing. Because every time he hit me, my guard was up, and he would hit me, and I would hit myself in the face. Boom! I didn't know what to do. I didn't expect that. He'd take a punch and I'd go again. And, over and over again, pretty soon you get kind of tired of that. I'm getting kind of tired. This is my third sermon. I'm feeling a little bruised. And pretty soon, you know, you got me in the nose. My nose starts bleeding. My mouth is full of this big plastic thing, mouth guard thing. I can't breathe. What do you finally do? If somebody just keeps hitting you in the head, this is the secret of fighting. If you are smaller than the other person and they're just going to keep hitting you in the head, what do? Okay. You walk away. You say, done. That's enough. You know, I mean, it would be different. In movies, in all the books I'd read as a kid, that people were, the heroes that I liked in the books I read, were described as small but wiry. And I like to think of myself that way. Turns out I was just small. But if you're smaller than the other person, in the movies, you just start the exciting music, and then in 5 minutes, over the course of a song, you're doing push-ups, and it's hard, but then you're working the speed bag, and you're working the heavy bag, and you're running around the city, and now you're doing push-ups, and now they're one-hand push-ups. By the time the song is done, you're really strong. If it was just enduring through the song, getting hit in the head for 5 minutes, I would be a different man today. But if you gotta get hit in the head for 5 weeks or 5 months, or frankly, if I were to get in that kind of shape that Sylvester Stallone got into, it'd take me 5 years. You're not gonna do that. You're not gonna just keep getting hit in the head. You walk away. So what in the world is happening here? How is this possible? That this anonymous, this no-name guard, this official, this guy thinks he can slap the Son of God upside the head. We all know not to do that. You don't tug on Superman's cape and so on. We all know when you're the weaker one, you don't go hitting at the really strong one. This is Jesus. This is Jesus who, with one word, silence, stills the storm and the waves. This is Jesus who, with two words, be healed, could heal leprosy or anything at all. This is Jesus who, with three words, Lazarus, come out, brings his friend back from the dead. Or who, in fact, just an hour, 2 hours or so before this text, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's praying. This mob of hooligans, you know, they come from the high priest with their torches and their clubs and their spears, and they come to the garden and acting all tough, and Jesus says, "Who are you looking for?" And they say, "Jesus of Nazareth." And he says, "All he says is, I am he." And they fall down because they're so scared of him. And now, just this short time later, the guy thinks he can walk up to the Son of God and smack him in the face. And he's not afraid to do that. And Jesus doesn't hit back. Jesus doesn't do anything. Jesus doesn't walk away. The beating escalates. He's beaten there at the high priest. He's beaten when we were there where this took place. You can see in the down in the cells there where they'd carve these little notches where you could tie a guy's hands up to the ceiling so you could be beaten. And the same thing where we were, where Jesus had been beaten by the Roman soldiers. And they, and as their practice was, they beat him with sticks. Standing around a group of them, they beating on him with sticks. And then they weave that crown of thorns and they shove it on his head and they beat that down into his scalp. And then they take the whip and they, with the little pieces of metal in the end of it, they whip him, breaking open those bruises they just made. To the Son of God. And he does nothing. And they're not afraid to do this to him. How is that possible? There was no way that I, in this boxing ring, was going to be able to beat up this young boxer and him just stand there. There wasn't even any way, though he was stronger than I, that he would be beating me up and I would just stand there. I left. I was done. That was the end of my boxing career. How is it possible that the weak can beat up the strong unless the strong says, I came here to take a beating? You know, as I said at the beginning, we don't, in our day-to-day lives these days, we don't experience a lot of fighting. You don't worry a lot about that, probably. But I remember a time, I was talking to somebody at the early service, remembering, yeah, when I was in school, it was during these riots, you know, and a lot of tension in the high school and stuff that happened after school. You ever remember what that was like, where if somebody said, I'm going to see you after school, and then you're going through the rest of your classes like, man, what am I going to do? And if I get in a fight, I'll get in big trouble. And, you know, usually I'll leave by this door. I think I'll leave by that door. If you remember a little how that felt, do you realize there's somebody waiting for you after church today? Who, when you leave here, wants to beat you up? Did you realize that there's somebody who hates you, who wants to pound on you with your sins, with your guilt, with your history, with whatever your failures were of your past? He wants to remind you of them. He wants to take them and beat you with them until you feel guilty and defeated and shamed. He wants to tell you, you will never be any different. You will never be able to overcome this. You will die. He desires to beat you to eternal death. That enemy is waiting for you. I remember my freshman year in high school when a group of guys grabbed me and they were going to take me to the bathroom and shove my head in the toilet. It was so amusing. Kip Bergman. Thank you, Lord, for Kip Bergman. He was in our youth group at church. Kip was a senior. He was about 6'3", you know, I was less than 5'7". The next year, when I got my driver's license, I was 113 pounds. So I don't know what I was as a freshman, but it wasn't much. So I'm like hanging under the door frame, and they're pushing me into the bathroom, and Kip comes along and says, let him go. Somebody said, I'm going to take your beating. Jesus said, I'm going to step in here and take a beating for you. With all your sin, all your failure, every way in which you failed to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, every way in which you failed to love one another, every way in which you have frustrated even yourself. And he took all of this on himself and did not walk away. We call that enemy the accuser, diabolos, or the enemy, satanas. But Jesus stopped him, and he took his weapons out of his hand. Your sins that he's beating you with, Jesus took Satan's weapons away from him. Now, here's an odd thing. Satan's still troubling you. You still have this enemy. You still deal with these thoughts with guilt and fear and frustration. You still hear that voice beating you up with this. Questioning, I'm not sure if I'm really forgiven or really saved. I know I'm not good enough. I know I'll never change this. What's happening? Your enemy's hands are empty, right? That's funny. All he has to do is take a swing at you, and you are hitting yourself in the head. Satan has no power over you. Your sins are gone. Do you keep punching yourself with your guilt? Or do you walk away? That's a fight we cannot win if we're going to beat up ourselves. No. Jesus has taken that for us. So we walk away from Satan's accusations. We walk with Christ. We walk with Jesus Christ, who, as we follow him to the cross, we see all that he did for us. But then as we follow him from the tomb, He says, Paul says in Romans, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. And nothing can take his love away from us. You almost want to hear that music, don't you? You know, you go to Philadelphia, you find the little bronze footprints in the place where the movie was filmed, where Sylvester Stallone stood there, and I don't feel like that person. But that's who you are in Christ. Because he won, you win. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.